Welcome to the show, and this is your host, David Yanez, the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today on Thursday afternoon. We are busy, busy, busy running around, and we are here. Amen. We are here with you to share the next hour or so. We're going to have a guest on the about the mid part of the show. We're going to have a Daniel Vasquez. He's going to be calling in, so we're going to talk about some topics. Today's theme is hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice for the will, or finding the will of God, finding the will of God, or hearing God's voice. You decide. I have several scriptures going several different ways, so we'll get into that, in just a bit. We're going to ask Daniel some questions on that as well. But my main thing is just letting you know that we are getting ready to do some crazy things in this next couple of months in March. We're going to try and participate in the, actually in February, we're going to participate in the 168 film project. We're going to have to put our registration fee in by 2 weeks, so I should have that together. But if you want to help, you can. And just like a preacher, I'm going to come up and the first thing on this air, I'm going to ask you for money. If y'all know the Rev, y'all know that's not true. But if you'd like to help, just go to our website and donate any amount you want. We really want to get this together, but the donations are not only for the registration fee that we need to raise, but it is also for paying the actors and paying the actresses and paying the crew. Every time I put a project together, I do not like to have what they used to call... What was the word they used to call? It was a very simple word. And you would take the payment instead of payment, you would override your payment and hope to be paid later. And I forget the proper term for that. I am on Chat Tango. If you know the term for that, let me know. Just chat back with me. And it's not proxy, but it's something similar to that. And of course, I would talk about something similar to that. Oh, we had a feedback there. Okay, but it's something similar to that. But it's not that. It's like waiving your fee, whatever. Anyway, I don't like doing that, and that's actually a practice that's gone away in the film industry. I've noticed that. I've looked at the charts and stuff, and the dailies and that you get, and just the film shooting schedules and stuff, and you look at that stuff, and you see that, and you're wondering, you know, that people, things are changing out there. People need to get paid. I totally agree. So anyway, 168 Film Project, their theme for this year is hearing God. Now, there's three options you can do when you join that project. If you want to make a film, you can. Just go to 168project.com. That's 168project.com. I'm going to put that on Rev Ministries by this weekend and also on Rev Media Network, so you know what we're doing. And we will be doing that, hopefully, within the next few weeks. The whole project is this. You put your trust in them to give you the right scripture. They pick a scripture for you, and then after that, you take the scripture and you basically have 168 hours to make your movie, 5 days. 5 days, and you can't start it until they go, and then you can't end it until it's. It has to be in their warehouse, or I mean, in their office by a certain time. And I don't know all the dates correctly, but you got 5 days to make a movie. That's 5 days. You have a couple of days to write, a couple of days to shoot, and then you have to do post. And you have a certain amount of time to get this all done. And everything has to be. You can't even write the script until you get the scripture. You can't even. Right, you can't even start casting. You can't even mix any music unless it's a pre-mixed music already that you purchased. You can't do anything from the scratch, from the beginning of the film all the way into the last can is closed and sent to them. It's all done in 5 hours. So the way you look at it, you figure a day for writing, a day for post. It's just a 5-day shooting schedule, but you can have the rest of the days to do all your post production. But your cameras can only roll for a certain amount of days. But anyway, to me, it's an interesting thing. It's something that we participated. I'm trying to remember because I was looking online this afternoon. And I'm trying to remember the date that we went. We made some crazy movie. We didn't even finish on time because our submission was late. FedEx was closed, and we ended up having to send it to U.S. Postal Service. It got there a day later. Never use the U.S. Postal Service when you got to send something important. We weren't even in the grading or competition part. We wouldn't have won anything. It was a horrible movie we made. It was horrible. My actors didn't show up. Now, this was years back. I'm saying it was either 2004. I'm thinking it was 2004. That's like 6 years ago that we actually joined that thing. And I just never did it again because we just never had the time or the finances to get it going again. But this year, we're hoping we can do it. It's something that I want to do. It's just a good kickoff for the year and our goal. Or remember, our 2010 goal was to put 3 movies together. And my wife is texting me right now. I have to get back with her. But 2010, what was our goal? I told you, besides the channel, besides the radio and the television network that we have here, that we want to get into the movie business again. This time for the Lord. This time for something bigger than ourselves. And you know what it is? I'm going to tell you this, my friends. It's confidence. Y'all thought I was going to say faith. Well, faith I have plenty of. It's confidence. And it's not my confidence. Okay, I'll be honest. It's a little bit of my confidence. You know, whenever you... And you may be like this. And you know me. You know the Rev. I talk to you. Real plain. You know my heart. I don't hide from you. I will tell you if it's right. Tell you if it's wrong. There's no gray area. But I'm very genuine too. And I'm unique in my approach to minister. And I really keep it on a simple level. And a lot of people are blessed by it. So I'm going to tell you this. If you ever done anything and you put your heart into it, put your passion into it, and let's just say you didn't get the effect or get the response you wanted, you are probably not going to do that again for a while. You're going to be a little hurt. You're going to lack the desire to do that again. Why? Not because you don't want to. It may be the thing you want the most. It may be the thing that you desire from God to use you in ministry. But you put it on a back burner, or even put it on the bookshelf. You put it on the back burner, or you put it on a bookshelf. And I don't know why we can have so much desire and so much dreams, and then we put it aside. Now, people will judge you. I want you to hear me this way. I mean, I feel God telling me to tell you this. I feel it on top of my heart, mind, spirit. I'm going to tell you. People will judge you over your failures. Over your failures, they will always judge you. You're like, oh, Rev, you just started going already. You are judged over your failures. And your successes, if that's a word, I got a tweet, Jeanette, and ask if successes is a word. Jeanette's my editor friend. She takes care of most of my editing for my books. Okay, she takes care of a lot of my editing, if not all of my editing for my books. But also for my authors and stuff for Rev Media Publishing. She takes a look at their books for us as well. She is great. She is awesome. And she keeps me in line when it comes to grammar. She even told me, next book, we're going to school, baby. We're going to school. Because she has to teach me how to... I'm a great storyteller. I can put together a good story. I can write books, shows, anything. But the grammar is probably not going to be the best. I'm just being honest with you. Okay, let's get back to successes. You are judged by your failures, and your successes are downplayed. Does that sound like anyone out there right now listening on this internet station that you can hear me talking to you? You are judged by your failures, and your peers will downplay your successes. There's a cruel world out there. And unfortunately, my friends, the cruel world is not the world that is outside the church. Sometimes it is the church people that are cruel. Sometimes, and I'm not on a soapbox yet, but I'm just saying, people want to see numbers to judge merit. What's the size of your church? How big is your building? What kind of cameras do you have? Do you know how many people have already judged my station and my network that God has allowed me to build for Him, for His glory? You know, the only one that I care opinion-wise on this station, besides the great men of God that are sharing things to me, and I'm telling you, there's some great men of God that love this station. Peter Gammons is coming to this station. Awesome man of God. If you looked at his 50 years of ministry, 50 years of ministry. Gerald Davis is on this station. 50 years of ministry. We have content. We have people coming in. But the thing is this, I don't brag on myself. I'm bragging on them. So don't think I'm being pious or anything. People will judge you according to your failures. I have a joke I tell at work. I say this all the time to the guys. And a lot of people feel under... Do you feel underappreciated at work? I sound like a commercial. Do you feel underappreciated at work? Do you feel like your boss never cares? Do you feel that they want more work for less money? Well, no, you're getting paid the same money, but you're just getting more work topped on because they can't add people to the schedules. They can't put people on the... They can't put people to do the production because the sales aren't meeting it or whatever. It's happening because this financial thing this country has gone through and is still going through. And I would tell them this, my friends at work and stuff. I would say, look, because they would complain so much. And there's days that they do great and days they do bad. And I'm like, you know what? You're only going to be remembered. And it's sad but true in some most societies. You will only be remembered at work for the last time you punched out. That's it. I don't care about your past glories. In this today's economy, they can say goodbye to you. There's no loyalty. They can say goodbye to you. But thank God that we have God. Amen? Because if they say goodbye to you, it's all right. God has a plan. You have to know that God has a plan regardless of your job situation. Regardless of where you are in life, God has a plan for you. So if you ever took an idea and you poured your heart into it and you poured your soul into it and you put it down because you didn't get the results, maybe you were embarrassed. Maybe you were embarrassed. Maybe you felt you failed. Maybe, I feel that one. Maybe you felt you failed. This is serious stuff here, my friends. This is serious. This is very true. I feel a lot of people have visions. They asked Benny Hinn one time, what was the thing that he's seen, and he was in prayer for a long time, and I reference him just because of the story, so don't add anything into this. But they asked him. They didn't ask him. He was preaching a sermon, and he was on TV, so he was just basically talking as a guest on a show. And he said that he's seen a graveyard in a vision. And in his dream, he said, "God, what do you want me to do?" He's just joking around, I suppose. He said, "You want me to raise these men from the dead?" He goes, "Do you see this field?" God told him. He goes, "Yes, I see the graveyard, the cemetery." He goes, "Do you see how many men of God are in this field?" And he could see the men of God in the field. He goes, "Yes, my Lord. Did you want me to raise them or something?" And God told him in his dream, No, this is the cemetery, but not with them. They are with me in heaven, but this is the cemetery for their dreams, desires, and passions. There's a cemetery out there holding dozens of people's dreams because they can't do it anymore because they're dead. I don't mean to be insensitive. I'm just telling you. There is a cemetery out there that is holding people's dreams. And you look at what people are going through. You look at everything that they have. And you see something so sad. Maybe they did do their vision. Maybe it was before it was too premature. And I'm going to be honest. Sometimes our ambition, desire is good. Now, desire is good. Is that too loud? I'm sorry. Desire is good. And I want to tell you this. Ambition, bad. Now, I was told by this by a friend of mine in the book that he wrote and also a sermon that he wrote, Nigel McNeil. He said, desire was good because it gave you something to push and pray and something to build around and to look forward to. And this is your goal. Desire was good, but ambition was bad because ambition, now get this, ambition meant this. You had to, it has the same qualities as desire. It does. But one thing, my friends, ambition goes, I'm going to get it no matter what. Ooh, that sounds kind of evil. I'm going to get it no matter what. Ambition is, I'm going to get that no matter what. And that means you'll do anything, say anything, and be anything that you need to be to get what you want. That's ambition. That's ambition. My friends, desire and ambition are two different things. And sometimes ambition will lead us to premature works. What are premature works? Premature works. Say you're supposed to be this great healing evangelist. Or for you skeptics out there, which if you hang around the Rev, you're going to learn about healing evangelists. Okay, for you skeptics out there, say you're supposed to be this great, I don't know, what word, music artist. That sounds good, because we're going to have a music station broadcasting through us. Music artist. Say you had this great idea on how to put bands together and everything. Or you're in a great healing evangelist. So you go, if you're a healing evangelist, what you're going to do? You're going to go and rent the room. Rent the space that you're going to use. You're going to plan it out, rent the space. But because healing requires God and God's anointing and God's timing, and you have to be in the right spot for God to do this, you may have, because of ambition, went and rented a space, believed God to be there, and nothing happened. And now, 10, 20 years pass by, and because you still have that call and the desire in you, and ambition has turned to desire now, because ambition brought you what? Premature works. It brought you hurt, lack of desire. Maybe you felt like you failed. It made you embarrassed. Premature works brings... I'm going to give you something here. I hope you're writing this down. Premature works brings premature results. Premature results. I hope you're getting this. I hope this right here is touching your heart, your mind, and your soul. I'm going to share with you a couple of things about me. I'm going to be honest with you because I'm not going to lie. There's two things that I felt that God called me to do. Besides preaching the gospel. And besides being a healing evangelist. You know, I don't worry about that one because I've seen miracles. And I've seen people touched. I can share with you stories. that I know that God is behind the evangelism no matter what. That if I prayed for someone, you know what, my friends? I know they're going to be healed. I know they're going to be healed. I don't doubt it. People that know me, they should know that I'm a man of prayer. A man of faith. A man of mystery. No. A man of miracles. People that know me, these three things follow me. Faith, prayer, and miracles. And when I say faith, prayer, I mean healing. I believe that I can share with you stories back in the 90s, even up to current day, that when I laid hands on someone and they believed that there was an anointing and a touch in their life at that moment. So I don't worry about... Now see, you notice the two words I used? Now I'm becoming psychoanalysis on myself here. I use the word worry about. I don't worry about... I don't worry about the healing because I know it's there. I know at any time God can turn that on and bam, 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 people are going to be touched, healed, delivered. Yes, I know I'm supposed to have huge healing crusades. I know that already. It's in my spirit. I can feel it. I've seen it. I've seen it. What do you think I was so attracted to a ministry that was overseas that was holding huge healing crusades? I wanted that anointing to triple in my life and in God's season. I already would lay hands on people and it doesn't take a genius to find out that God heals and it's not me. But I knew that I had a special anointing for that. Now, I tell you this. When I was, I would say, the two things I would tell you. Two things were dear to my heart. And if you do this, if you go out and you go before you're supposed to go, then it's going to disappoint you. What's going to happen is you're going to leave it in the back burner. You're never going to pick it up again. And you will doubt yourself when it's time. This is like Holy Ghost stuff here, buddy, because I was going with a whole different thing. Daniel Vasquez has emailed me or texted me and said he's ready for me to give him a call. We're going to go with this for a few more minutes, then we're going to call Daniel. As soon as I get a chance and we go on the break, I'll try and get a hold of him on the phone and let him know that we'll be giving him a call in a few minutes. But let me tell you this. We're going to keep going with this because I feel that someone's getting this and someone needs to hear what we're talking about. And that is this, my friends. I know the hurt. I've been there. You're all waiting for me to say this stuff. And it's not easy to admit that you failed. Or not easy to admit that you did stuff prematurely. For premature works. And got premature results. But I'm going to tell you, I have. Okay, well, we'll start with the film festival thing. I thought I could do this film festival thing. But you know what? I wasn't ready. Even though I knew the media, knew the video, could put a movie together in a heartbeat, and even went on this time thing and studied all this stuff, and I wasn't prepared on one thing. I didn't have the actors I needed. I didn't have the crew I needed. So even though I had a great idea, great script, it was even a mediocre script. I wouldn't even say it was great. It was even borderline mediocre. I put this together. We ran it. People that seen this show that we shot were impressed. They loved it for some reason. I don't know. I think they were just being nice. But everyone that's viewed it has loved it. Now, I didn't because it wasn't what I wanted. And because of that, because I did not, because I did not get what I wanted from there, I put that down. That was probably about 2005. I'm going to say it was 2005. And every year I get the email from, for the last 7 years, I've gotten the email from all the film competitions, different ones. I never picked it up again. Because I got disappointed. Because I got hurt. Because even the desire went away for a little bit. And then, you know, in my ideas, I felt, and I'm being honest, because I can be honest with you, and it's not the right thing. Wouldn't you rather me tell you the truth? And I told you, there's no such thing, no such thing as a mystique in this ministries. Don't believe that there's a mystique, because there's no such thing. There's no such thing. You're getting real answers, real stuff from me. And I just want to be honest with you. Now, when I did that, I'm getting hold of Dan real quick. Now, when I did that, I didn't see what I wanted. Okay, I didn't see what I wanted to see. I didn't see the results I wanted to see. And because that, I let myself get hurt. I let myself let the desire die. That's why God says, stir up the gifts. I let myself get hurt. I let myself get offended with my own work. And how many times I tell you about Gerald Davis's book about offense, which we will cover next week. I let myself be embarrassed. Ashamed. Over something that was so simple as a little film project. You know, and I let that happen on that. And I'm telling you the truth things because I want you to understand this. If my craziness of prematurely trying to get out there and make this movie without doing all the studying that I need to do as far as the work on this end is trying to get actors and stuff and staying in the network, trying to keep people on the actor base and... Then, you know, I didn't get the results I wanted. I didn't have the support cast to do this. I tried to do it all by myself at that time, and it wasn't right. I put too much pressure on myself. How many of us know that we can put too much pressure on ourselves? We have a timeline. We have things we want to be doing at a certain age. We want to make sure that it's the best. We want to make sure that we are noticed. Whatever the pressure you may put on yourself. All I know is that if you do this early, like I did that movie thing early, and I could have took pace by pace, I could have made 100 movies by now. Easy. But I let it die. And I put it down and I made excuses. I tell you, my friends, as much as people judge you by your failures, you judge yourself by your failures. You judge yourself. And you downplay your own success by your failures. This is serious, my friends. This is very, very serious. I tell you, my friends, it's a sad, sad thing when we do this. The second thing I did, of course, was back in 2000. I think all this happened the same year. This was back in 2005. I have to look at my ministry calendar, but this was way back then as well. I'm thinking of 2005. We held our first relationship conference in New York. So there was a lot of expense to this. And we had a lot of following on the radio stations. And even the radio stations was making an announcement for us that we're out there in New York. And I think we took the results that were the top downloaded show in New York for a year and a half. very top. We took that, or I took that too much to say that we had a lot of following. And I should have waited to see the responses from people before I start booking this conference. And it was going to be a first of many conferences. We're going to go on tour. Well, I got to New York. I'm going to tell you, the results were minuscule compared to what I wanted. And we were spending X amount of $100 a night on the facility. And it was a big, we had the funds. And it seems like we just threw it right out the door. I prayed about it. We did see people get touched and people showed up and their lives were changed. But I will never forget, sitting there before and after each event and looking at it with my head down and wondering where I went wrong. Premature works brings premature results. You got to know God's will, my friends. And I'm going to tell you this from the bottom of my heart, my friends. Before we get Daniel on, I'm going to tell you this. I know that God's called me to minister and preach. I know my message and my delivery is different than others. I know my heart and passion is true for people. So I don't care if I mess up 10 more times trying to put something together. I'm putting something together for God. You keep going, even though you know what you're doing. You need to make sure God is calling you to do it and to do it at that time. Know the season. That is something that I've learned. Know the season. Right now, the season may not be movies for us, but we have a goal. It's okay to have a goal, but it may not be the season. It's a whole different subject. We'll ask Pastor some of these questions, Pastor Dan Vasquez, when he comes on. But I'm telling you, New York, the first movie we made, wasn't where we wanted it to be. It wasn't. Shortly after that, we stopped doing a lot of the broadcasts and stuff. And it wasn't that we couldn't contain it or sustain it. It's because I'm going to give you this next key. I want you to write this down. If you doubt it, or if you begin to doubt it, the financial flow and blessing will start to slow down or shut down. If you doubt your work, then it will stop. Or slow. You know, the TV ministry, the radio ministry was never that much, up until that date, a burden for us to carry. And we were never felt that we were uncontrolled. It was uncontrollable. But I think when I hit that wall of doubt and disappointment, that I let go of the reins and I wasn't driving it no more. But my friends, like they say, you learn from your mistakes. Trust me, I've learned. This is not even what I want to jump into, but this is where we're at. Amen. Let me get a hold of Daniel. We're going to play a commercial. We'll be right back. God bless you. I hope that helped you. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Yannis, host of BitWatch with the Rev and the station manager for Rev Media Network. Just wanted to give you our monthly ministry update, just to get you caught up with what's going on. We have had over 75 people come to Christ this last month of November and December combined, and about 46 of those people also came in for prayer and prayer requests online. So I want to tell you that we're doing some good things. Rev Media Network is pushing forward, and we are having some great opportunities coming up. We have ministers from England, Scotland that are contacting us that want to have their shows. We have local ministers here in Kingwood, Houston, and Humble that are all getting a part of the station. So by 2010, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be have an expectation, because we're going to have more ministers on the air for you and more broadcasts happening. Also, 2009, November and December, you have seen the launch of our television channel. Lately, we've had been doing a lot of different things in radio, but now we have the television channel with an episode every few days, and we're moving forward on that. I want to welcome to the station Pastor Daniel Vasquez. He is going to be hosting a show starting in January 2010. We'll have him on the bio page and get that going as well. But I want to encourage you that this ministry is moving forward. We're going to be opening a channel in 2010. We're going to see some great things with a channel opening in Peru that's going to stream right here on Rev Media Network. It's going to be in Spanish and English back and forth. So we're going to see some great things happen on that station, on that channel in our station. Also, we're partnering on the website with other countries that want to start a channel here on Rev Media Network. We're going to partner with them as well. So pray for these upcoming endeavors or adventures. I like to call them adventures or events coming up. I want to also thank KeepingMyMarriage.com, who has been airing a webisode every month, and also thank everyone that is listening to this station via Warren USA, who has a satellite, and also Sunday International, who has a satellite stream of this broadcast as well. I want to thank all our partners in ministry. I want to tell you thank you for being with us for our first year, and all the host of Charles, Dana, Judy, Mark Fields. I want to thank all of y'all for being a part of this station when we just started up, and we're seeing some great things. The Church Stream website is doing awesome. We have a lot of hits on that channel. We have all the pastors lined up that send in their shows. We're going to see that shows all put through. We're going to see about 10, 15 of those added this year alone. So November, December, all the way back to July, we've done a lot of progress. I want to let you know that you're a part of that, and that you're being a big part of it by supporting. So if you haven't supported and you're thinking about giving us a donation to help us, we will appreciate that, because we are putting everything out there. We are not a commercialized radio station. We are believing that God will provide through donations and through divine gifts that He has for us. So God bless you. Thank you again for tuning in to Rev Media Network. I want to tell you that this year is going to be a blessed year. 2010, we're going to see some great things happen. God bless you. Remember, my show is at 2 o'clock Monday through Friday, Midwatch with the Rev. I'll see you then. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Amen. We're back, and we're going to get Daniel Vasquez on the line right now with us, and we'll get back to you in just a sec. Let's see if he picks up. I hope you enjoyed what we're talking about earlier. And it's something that I know that's in my heart, and I know that it should help most of y'all. Hello? I think we're still dialing. Maybe it went out. There we go. I'm still messing with the sound, the phone book stuff.
Hello.
Hey, Pastor Daniel.
Hey, David.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing excellent.
Well, you are on the air. I hope that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's too bad if it's not, because you're on there.
There you go.
Oh, man. I just wanted to call in. Just thank you for actually joining the station. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have you, and a blessing to see that you're actually have your own time slot, and you're doing well. You're doing well.
Oh, praise God, praise God. I do apologize for being so late. I got stuck on the far south southwest side of town, and just got a free moment. So I do apologize for being so late, but. But I do thank you for the opportunity to be on the radio both now and on Monday evening.
Amen. Well, you know what? I think that your time slot's doing pretty good, because you're following Peter Stanway from Scotland. And then usually our listeners will stay on to like 10, 10:30 listening throughout the night. And you're getting a good crowd there, buddy.
Oh, well, praise God.
Yeah.
Well, praise God. I know my my Twitter following has gone up over the last week or two. Not by very much, but it's gone up.
Good.
And so, so no complaints there.
Well, that's good. That's good. Hey, today we've been talking on the show. Just so you can just give your opinion on this. I've been talking about premature works. Sometimes we move when we're not supposed to move, and we have a problem of waiting for God. And
okay.
I was just sharing just a couple of my own personal I wouldn't call them failures, but disappointments, because disappointments are what they are, because you put expectation behind something that you put out, and you don't get the results, you tend not to go back to it. You tend not to pick it up again, or you put it on the shelf. Even your desire to do that, you may have a strong gifting in it, but you don't even desire to put yourself back out there in that spot again. You got any opinions on that, brother?
You know, it's funny you say that. I was talking to somebody about this particular subject the other day, and it reminds me of a story. It's more of an anecdote, but it's about this man who approaches God and says, God, I really want to serve you. I just command me to do something, and I will do it. And so God tells him, okay, I want you to go to that boulder. If you look over there, you see this huge boulder. I want you to go to that boulder and push the boulder. Just push up against the boulder. And the man says, okay, God. So he runs over there, and he begins to push up against the boulder, and he's pushing, and he's straining, and he's pushing, and pushing, and pushing. And after a long period of time, he stops pushing, and he goes back to God, and he says, God, I just don't understand. God, I did what you told me to do. I went and pushed against the boulder, and I could not move it. And God stopped him and said, son, he goes, I never told you to move the boulder. I just told you to push up against the boulder. You know, and I think sometimes we want to take things a little bit further than what God wants us to do, or we want to take it in a direction that maybe God's not ready for us to have just yet. You know, whenever we talk about, you know, especially serving God, and for all those people who really have a desire to serve the Lord and they want to do things pleasing to the Lord, I think sometimes we'll go further than what, not necessarily what we need to, because I don't think you can over-serve God, but I think sometimes we try to hurry up past God's will. You know, I remember there's a lady in our church who had been praying for her son, and one of the things I shared with her was to place her son in God's hands and let God deal with him and let God do what he's got to do with this young man. And so she kept stepping in front of God, and you know, things just, the young man would never come to the Lord. And she, every time God was trying to do something in his life, she would step in. And until she got to a point to where she took a step back and said, okay, God, you do what you need to do in my son's life. And when she did that, God did what he did. And then her son came to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Now, have you had something personally that you had tried to get going and you just felt you may have done it too prematurely?
Something.
You don't have to share something. If you don't want to.
Well, I'm just trying to pick one of so many.
You know, I'm trying to pick one of so many.
I'd love to say that I'm batting 1,000 as far as that never happening, but that would be a lie. I mean, I'm definitely not going to do that. But you know, there's I can't really pinpoint one specific. I mean, because there are a lot of instances where
I shared a couple of mine, and the thing is that we can't judge them as failures, because we would judge ourselves harsher than our critics, and we would downplay our successes more than anyone else would downplay it. So
yeah, I think one that comes to mind, though, as you're saying that, there was one time in particular where actually, you know what, let me say this. Last year, 2008, last year, I guess, a year, 2 years ago now, in 2008, I our church was about a year and a half old, and we were growing, and my heart was to be with my church full time.
Yes.
And you know, I'm a firm believer that a church needs a full time pastor. And now, not every church is able to financially support their pastor full-time, but that still doesn't change the fact that every church needs a full-time pastor. Well, my heart was so devoted to being at my church full-time that I felt that it was in the best interest of the church, and I thought that it was God's will at that moment for me to quit my job and run the church full-time. And like I said, this was in 2008, so in May 2008, I quit a pretty decent paying job, to run the church, and basically cut my salary from what I was making at a 9-to-5 job to about a fourth of that running the church. And I thought I was hearing from God, you know, and I believe my heart was in the right place. I think the timing was off, and I went from May till December like that, and my family struggled mightily because of it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we struggled quite a bit, and the repercussions on it from my standpoint were a lot of it was mental. You know, I had to deal with the mental part of it, you know, where the enemy is telling me things like, you know, I made a bad decision, you know, I missed God, and really just a lot of condemnation wanted to set in, and I had a brother in the Lord really just minister to me on that and help pull me out of it, but you know, as a man, as a husband, you know, that really affected me, you know, and it was a situation where, again, my heart was in the right place, and I do believe it's still God's will for me and my church, but I jumped the gun, you know, and I was ready to fulfill God's will now rather than in His timing. I wanted it in my timing.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Pastor, you're not the only one that's ever jumped the gun on that one. So I join you in that boat. but the thing is, I shared as well, and that's a very, very heartfelt and strong example there, and the thing that I shared was, you know, I did two things, and just to catch up, because I know you've been on the road, so, and there was two things that I hold dear in my heart to do besides my preaching and my evangelism and my in healing, you know, that stuff I don't worry about because I know it's there. It's not something I really, you know, have to see if it's there. You know, it's like we tend to worry about what we know we want to do, like it's not going to happen. You know what I mean?
And I hear you.
One of the things was a movie project that I worked on. It was a film contest. It was a last minute thing. I just wasn't prepared for it with the staff and the crew and the actors. I was prepared for it with the material and with the cameras and all that stuff, but I just didn't have the main part, the ingredient, the actors. And I jumped the gun and I joined this contest, and I never picked up a camera again to shoot a feature film after that. And that was like 5 years ago. And then,
wow.
And then the other thing was, I held a conference in New York, which we had, you know, minimal results for what we're putting into a two night relationship conference. And I really felt God directed me toward this before I even got a word from the Lord from some people on it. And this was like 2 years before I even got that word about the relationship conference. And what happened was, I never held another one until recently, where I will hold them on the webinar, and that's been working out well. But it's like I put that down too, and it was like that was a huge financial commitment on both of those things, and it was also a huge time commitment. And that, you know, you feel like you took from something else that you could have done something else with it. And I just, like, I feel like, you know, I feel like we had a loss in a way. You know, loss was one of the words that we didn't bring up, but you do. You feel like you lost something when you step out like that. And it's just sometimes, like you mentioned, you ministered to me right there when you said it was a mental attack. I mean, the heckler is there. He's always there. The heckler will always be there trying to tell you that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you know what? Mm-hmm. We just got to remember, if he has time to come heckle us, then we must be going in the right way anyway.
that's it right there. That is so true. There's a lot of truth in that statement. And you know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is, do you remember when David and his men, King David and his men, actually this was before he became king, he goes back to the town of Ziklag, He's bringing his men back, and the enemy, I want to say it was the Amorites, came and ransacked the town.
Yes.
You remember that? And they took all the women, the children, the spoils of the town, and when they got there, you know, the Bible says that his men were in such anguish and anger that they sought to stone him. You know, and I believe he went through a moment of discouragement right there, you know, because this was a man who in previous years was promised to be king. You know, he was prophesied over to be the next king of Israel. You know, this was a man who fought a lion and a bear, who fought Goliath, and this was a man who was good at everything he did. And here he is on the run, you know, running from Saul, sleeping in caves, men tired, hungry, you know, and then to top it all off, he gets everybody home safely, and everything is ransacked, stolen, and destroyed. You know, and one of my favorite parts of that, you know, he the Bible says that he basically bears down, and the phrase that the Bible uses is that he encouraged himself, he strengthened himself in the Lord. And then he asked God, he says, God, should I go back to the enemy's camp and take back everything that he stole from me? And God told him to go, you know, and I think, you know, even when we make bad decisions and the discouragement wants to set in, you know, it's important for us to, one, encourage ourselves in the Lord, and two, to remember that even what was lost, God will eventually restore.
Amen. I believe that, brother. I believe that. Well, brother, I thank you for being a guest today on the show. We're at that time already.
Okay. I do apologize. It's okay. So short. I'd love to touch on this topic again soon. You know, I believe there's so much in God's Word.
Well, why don't you prepare something for next week, and then we can get a call in or come by the station, whatever works for you, and then we can just continue from there. I think that I really felt it was a totally different subject I was working on when I first started the show, and then I just went with this because I felt a strong presence just to do this, and the words just start coming, brother, and I'm glad we were both on the same page with this, so that's an awesome thing. And go and give them your information so they can view your websites and your Twitter and all that. Go ahead.
All righty. I'm Pastor Daniel Vasquez, True Vine Fellowship. You can find me at www.truevinefellowship.com. This is our church website. Our address is 8520 Sweetwater Lane, Suite E41. We're in Houston, Texas, 77037. You can find me on Twitter under God_rules. That's God_rules, and you can also find me on Facebook, Daniel Vasquez, or you can look up our True Vine Fellowship fan page. You're more than welcome to shoot me an email. My email address is daniel@truevinefellowship.com. Look forward to hearing from you guys, and God bless.
Thank you, Daniel. We'll give you a call in a little bit. Thank you for coming on the air with us. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
That was Daniel Vasquez, and he is a pastor of True Vine Fellowship, as you heard, and he is on 9 o'clock Central Standard Time here on Monday nights on Channel 1. So if you ever want to listen to his services and stuff, he has archives there as well. I'm going to put him on the Church Stream page, and we're going to see some good things happen there. Well, I want you to be encouraged, and then a few notes just when we're closing here on the air, that when you do something for God, do it. Just do it. But if you do go out prematurely, my friends, know this. It's okay. The loss will be recovered. But you got to guard yourself against judging your own self, downplaying your new successes, your hurt, your lack of desire, your confidence, your embarrassments, or even mentioning that you're a failure. Those things you got to guard against, okay? I love you. God bless you. I hope the show was something good for you today. And we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to Midwatch with the Rev. And you know that we will always be here. If you want to write us, you can write us at Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can email me,
the Rev at midwatchwiththerev.com. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.